Morning, church. That baptism video got me. Oh. I didn't plan on starting out crying. I figured it would happen, but not this soon. Man, God's good, y'all. God is good. Today during praise and worship, we were singing about, you know, amazing grace. And what gets me is when I think of where I was to where God brought me to. And you're probably wondering why I look so fly up. Don't worry, we'll get to that. No, last night, I'll tell you the story. It's a cool story. My buddy Matt, known him since we was in high school, he got married last night. And he asked me to join in with his big day. And this thing was almost $200. I said, you can't just wear that one night. I got to get my money's worth. So that's why I got my coat on. It's too hot. I was thinking about going full T.D. Jakes up here, but I was like, no, I can't do that. I'm going to have to wear my blue jeans. But, y'all, I'm excited about today. I'm excited about today. I'm excited the word God's give for me. And I'm just expecting to see lives change, plain and simple. I'm expecting to see God move today. But last night at the wedding, there was a bunch of friends from high school that I hadn't talked to in a while, and some of them I still stay in contact with. And if I don't know if you were friends on Facebook, but I put up a message a while back. I don't know, Monday or Tuesday, I was letting people know I'm preaching this Sunday. And I'd love for anybody, you know, that was hurting, anybody that was lost, to come. And my prayer is that I'll have friends from high school show up. The cats I used to run with and do things with. And that's the people I'd like to see that I'm not who I used to be. And last night at that wedding, I seen a bunch of them. And all of them was like, man, I hear you preaching tomorrow. I hear you preaching tomorrow. And I was telling Gentry on the way home last night. I was like, thank God they know that I'm not about the way I used to be. That I'm not about the party scene and the alcohol and the drugs. That now I'm about leading people to the cross. And that just, I don't know. In the baptism video, just seeing, I told Clint that's my favorite video ever because it starts out with me baptizing people. And then it ends up with me getting baptized. And I don't know, I just love it. I just love it. But anyways, I'll get to preaching here in a second, I promise. Before we even start, guys, y'all just pray with me. Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, thank you for today. Father God, I thank you that you're glorified in this place. Jesus, we praise you and we love you. Father, just Holy Spirit, move in power today, Father God. Father, I pray that you'll just change lives. That these ain't just people in seats, but Father God, they're souls that come wanting to hear your word. Souls that come longing for a change, Father God. And Jesus, I pray that you'll just meet that need, that you'll meet them right where they are in whatever situation they're in, Father God. Bless my lips. Let me speak what you want me to say. Father God, open our hearts. Open our ears. Let me speak life. Let me speak encouragement. Let me speak your word to their life, Father God. And Father, I pray that it finds good soul and it makes good roots and they apply what they learned today, Father God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen, as Mr. Mel says. The challenge for me today, y'all, is to deliver this the way God showed it to me. And that's not just sitting up here with my hands in my pockets being still. This was powerful. It got me out of the bed at 12 o'clock at night, jotting everything down. I got this whole sermon in about 2 hours. I was just laying in bed thinking, and it hit me. But before that, let me back up. I was going through a struggle. Anybody in here ever been through a struggle? Anybody going through something right now? Raise your hand. Don't be scared. It's church. Well, this message is for y'all today. The other people, y'all lying. So, but this message is for y'all today. But I was going through something, and I was talking to a guy at work about it, and I was just telling him what I'm struggling with, and he was telling me what he was struggling with. And I told him, I said, man, I said, the devil, he can see in the spiritual realm. He lives in the spiritual realm. He knows what's coming. He knows what you're about to do, and he don't want you to do it. Because we're trying to destroy his kingdom. The boy I'm talking to, he just got rededicated, and he's on fire for the Lord. And I was telling him all that. I said, the devil don't want you to do what God's called you to do. So he's going to try to mess you up and get you out of your calling. But when I spoke those words, I was like, man, why didn't I apply that to my life this whole time I've been struggling? So I had the revelation, I'm going to make it. No matter what, I'm going to make it. So today, that's what I've titled my message. You're going to make it. I don't know what you come here with, but it's about what you leave with today. You're going to leave here changed. I'm believing it with all my heart. But right after me and this guy had this conversation, Clint texted me and said, "Hey, man, can you preach for us?" He's like, "The series is what to do when you don't know what to do." I was like, "Yes, I will," because I just figured out what to do when you don't know what to do. So that's what we're going to talk about today. You're going to make it. And I'll go ahead and start out with this. Just like I said, the devil don't want you to do what God has called you to do. He's going to try his best to get you off of that path. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." But praise God for the second part. Because Jesus said, "I have come to give life and give it to the full." So y'all, like I said, I don't know what you come here with today, but we're going to leave it here at the altar before we leave. I promise you. So I want to start out with Luke 4:18. This is what the Holy Spirit laid on my heart about this message, and I feel so strongly with this message. This is Jesus talking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Yo, I'm here today to bust the jail doors wide open and set the prisoners free. Not by nothing I do, but by Jesus Christ flowing through me. The word's powerful, y'all. The word is powerful. So today I've made 3 points. And we're going to get to those points, and we're going to take some time on each one and talk about them. But the Holy Spirit laid something on my heart the other night when I was laying in bed. You ever been through something and you're crippled? What you talking about, Cam? I can walk. I ain't crippled. No, I'm talking spiritually crippled. You feel like you can't move. You feel like you can't take another step. You don't know what to do. You ain't got a clue what to do. Or the Holy Spirit laid on my heart the other night, in the name of Jesus, pick up your mat and walk. Pick up your mat and walk. Y'all just remember that. I thought it'd be a bigger amen because I was excited about that. Y'all might not have heard me. I said, pick up your mat and walk. So my first point is to fix your eyes on Jesus. Y'all write that down. If you don't take notes, you can't keep your pen. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's all about a choice, guys. You have a choice. You can focus on what you're going through. You can focus on the chaos, the madness, or you can focus on the answer. We're going to go to Matthew 14:25. Anybody know who Peter is? Okay, I'm mad like y'all said yes, because y'all should know who Peter is. Matthew 14:25. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And here's Peter in verse 28, big bad Peter. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. People want to knock Peter, but let's praise Peter for a second. He's the only one that was brave enough to get out of the boat. So he gets out of the boat, and he's doing it. He's walking across the water. He probably had the old chicken, the old wobble leg, you know. But he's walking across the water. He's doing it. But then what happens? We'll pick up here in verse 30. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" As long as he was looking at Jesus, when he was focused on Jesus, he was walking. But when he looked back, he got to looking around, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and he got to looking around at everything going on around him, the mess, what happened? He started sinking. How many of us do that? How many of us take our eyes off of Jesus? How many of us, we'd rather look at the doctor's results than look at the healer? How many of us, we'd rather look at the bills piling up than the supplier of all our needs? We'd rather look at our depression instead of his joy. We'd rather look at our pain instead of his peace. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus, y'all. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. They were there, the wind and waves was there the whole time. It didn't just happen. But his focus changed. His viewpoint changed, and he got looking at everything around him, and he sank. Y'all, don't do that. Don't do that. You'll sink when you take your eyes off of him. So when the waters rise, when the waves are crashing in, you're shaking to the core, ain't got a clue what to do. I've hit rock bottom, Cam. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I'm here to tell you, you're going to make it. That's what you're going to do. You're going to make it. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Y'all think y'all remember that first point? Keep your eyes on who? Jesus. There we go. Number two, and we're going to take some time to talk about this one. This is our second point. Let your faith, y'all be writing this, let your faith be stronger than your fears. Let your faith be stronger than your fears. We're going to pick up in Mark 5. You know what? I totally quit reading in Matthew. Let me pick up, because it's funny how the Bible works, how all the stories kind of tie in together. So let's pick up where I left off. Verse 31, Jesus. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and called him, "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. I'm not good with names, y'all. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. So that's what we finna pick up in Mark 5. This is letting your faith be bigger, be stronger than your fears. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. This is Jesus. He's walking through the crowd. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. So this woman, back in those days, you were ceremonially unclean. If, like, you couldn't do anything with the woman, if she touched you, you're ceremonially unclean. So she ain't got a husband. Nobody's marrying her. All the doctors are trying to help her. She's done spent everything she had trying to get help. But nothing's working. Y'all ever been in that situation? Cam, I'm doing everything I don't know how to do, but nothing's working. Nothing's working. If you're connecting with this, if this is speaking to you, y'all listen up, because it's finna get good. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touched his clothes, I will be healed. If I could just touch his clothes, I will be healed. I don't know what you're going through, but if I could just touch his clothes, my drinking problem can be wiped away. If I can just touch his clothes, my anxiety will be wiped away. If I can just touch his clothes, my depression will be gone. If I can just touch his clothes, y'all, back then, Jesus, he was in one spot at one time. Jesus said, it's greater, it's better for me to go, to send somebody with you. Talking about the Holy Spirit that can be with us anywhere. He's not in one spot no more. You don't have to try to look and, like, okay, he's going to be in Statesboro today, Savannah tomorrow. I'll try to catch him in between. It's not like that. He's anywhere at any time. If I could just touch his clothes. Talking about that, you can take him to work with you on a Monday morning. When you're ready to cuss the world out, because I know y'all probably ain't as saved as me, but when you're, I mean, it's a joke. But when you're ready to cuss somebody out, Jesus is right there. When you're ready to bust somebody in the head, maybe you're in a football game and they keep messing with you and you want to hit them and make us get a penalty and we lose the game, but it's cool. I still love you, Walker. I love you, man. But if I could just touch his clothes. So here she is. She's walking. She's pursuing, fighting through the crowd. She's heard about him. She knows if I can just get there, my life can be changed. Immediately, this is what happened when she touched him. If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So as soon as she touched Jesus, as soon as she came into contact with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, she was healed. She was healed. Y'all, I'm trying to tell y'all today, whatever you're going through, reach out. Reach out and grab it. Grab those clothes. Grab the hem of his garment. Grab the hem of his garment. In verse 30, Jesus says, At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" Verse 31, his disciples said, "You see the people crowding around against you, and you ask me who touched you?" Like, how are we supposed to know that? Y'all ever been in a crowd, a big crowd, with a lot of people? Me and Gent went to the Luke Bryan concert, his farm tour, so you should have known a bunch of rednecks, but I love rednecks. But we went out there, there's no seat, so you're standing. And my jacket's in the bus. If I do that, I better be careful. I got to take it back Monday. But so they're standing there, or we're standing there, I'm sorry, and we're bumping. And it was an I-95 right beside me. I must look like a nice guy. I don't know what it is. I think I look pretty tough. But everybody wanted to walk right past me, and I didn't have the heart to tell them no. So I finally told one fella, I said, "Ain't nobody else getting through." I was mad. And people was bumping into me. And that's what I was thinking about this morning when I was reading. I was like, that'd be like me at the Luke Bryan concert trying to figure out who in the world touched me. Who touched me? Everybody was touching me. But if I wasn't so saved, I'd have cussed them all out. But I'm saved. There was a time that would have happened, but thank God for grace. I'm getting off track. I'm sorry, y'all. Verse 30 through 34. "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." What healed her? Her faith. "Your faith healed you." Y'all, everything she touched becomes ceremonially unclean. She took a gamble, reaching out, trying to touch him. She's probably scared to death to do it. And you see, when he said, "Who was it?" Oh, I done did it now. Come to him, trembling with fear. And he said, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. You're free from your suffering." Freed, past tense. You in here are free. You were free 2,000 years ago on the cross. You are free from what you're going through. You're going to make it. You are free. Her faith healed her. She knew that Jesus was capable to heal her, to fix all that was wrong in her broken life. It all took place because she reached out. She reached out in faith. She pursued Jesus. She reached out for him and grabbed his clothes. Now let me hit another subject. Faith don't always change the outcome. You can pray and pray and pray about some stuff, but sometimes the answer is just no. But what faith does do is change the outlook on something. And I'll share a story. I've shared it before about my daddy's buddy, Mr. Kyle. He had cancer, and in his last days, probably a couple months, and he was talking to Daddy. He was like, "You know, what happens when you die? Well, like, what'll happen to me?" And Daddy told him, he said, "Man," he said, "I don't know." He said, "Let me get some time and think about it, pray on it, and I get something back to you." Well, anyways, Daddy, he's been praying and praying and praying for Mr. Kyle. And the whole time, nothing changed. He was just getting worse. But what did happen is Mr. Kyle accepted Christ. And on his deathbed, he hadn't moved in days, maybe a week. He hadn't moved. Well, Daddy was sitting there talking to him, telling him how much he loved him. And what he had come back with his answer previously, I jumped ahead of myself. He said, "Man, Jesus himself is going to come get you. Jesus himself is going to come get you." And Daddy said, "That was a bold statement. I shouldn't have said that. I can't promise that." So anyways, fast forward, Mr. Kyle's last day. Daddy's sitting on the bed with him, telling him how much he loved him, what he meant to him, his Heidi, his wife's talking to him. And he hadn't moved. His eyes is glassy. And then what happens is, Daddy's telling him, he said, "Man, it's okay. You ain't got to fight no more." And Daddy tells him, "Look for that hand. Look for that hand." And then a hand that hadn't moved reaches out and takes hold of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And his hand dropped and he sank down in the bed. And I believe right now Mr. Kyle's dancing right now in heaven with Jesus. But this is a man that hadn't moved, but standing before the presence of God Almighty, things can happen. Things can happen. Dry bones come to life. Limbs that hadn't moved reach out and grab a hold. Mr. Kyle's faith overcame what the devil was trying to mean for harm. Your faith is what moves mountains. Your faith. So I got a question for you. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? I ain't talking about a half-hearted belief. I'm talking about the kind of faith that Joshua and Caleb had. When the other 10 guys said, man, them giants is too big. We can't do nothing with it. I'm talking about the kind of faith that said the grapes is big, the giants are huge, but my God's bigger. I'm talking about the kind of faith that David had when he looked across and saw Goliath right before he took him down. I'm talking about the kind of faith that Stephen had when everything was going wrong, when he was about to die and his focus was solely on Jesus Christ. The kind of faith that instead of looking at the people getting ready to kill you, looking at the rocks being thrown at you, he's looking to heaven. He says, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God the Father. I'm talking about the kind of faith we just read about where a woman said, if I can just touch his garment, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Where is your faith? Y'all, when God said, or Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. That's not the biggest obstacle you can do. So it don't matter if you got the faith the size of a mustard seed or a football. As long as you got faith, things can happen. As long as you got faith in reaching out, things can happen. Man, I'm finna get to preaching up here. Y'all better watch out. Man, Clint talked about it 2 weeks ago. We can't go by what we feel. We can't go by what we see, because sometimes things ain't the way they appear. So I'm wanting to know, I'm talking about the faith, that you can look at a situation and say, God, this don't make no sense to me. But I'm going to trust you, and we're going to get through this. Why? Because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. God, I don't know what you're doing in my life, but I know we're going to make it through it. So what? You're going to make it. Mr. Bucky, we're finna show y'all something. And I can't take credit for this. I saw it and it was so good I had to share it with you. But here behind me, can anybody tell what that is? Any idea? A bunch of pieces. That's what we're handed, is pieces. But God sees the big picture. God sees the finished work of this. But I can't tell what it is. I don't know what I'm looking at. But we take a step of faith. And you see, it changes a little bit. There's more pieces. And I still ain't got a clue what it is. But I take another step of faith. I still don't know what it is. But God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to take another step of faith. I see you doing something, God. I see you using me for something, but I don't know what it is. So I'm going all out. I'm going to take another step of faith. And God, I see what you were doing 4 years ago when you called me in Midland, Georgia that night. I see what you had laid out for me now, God. That you had a calling for my life that was more than what I was living for. That you was wanting me, using me to bring the gospel to the youth in Scriven County. But y'all, you can't walk by faith. You can't walk by faith. You can't walk by sight. You have to walk by faith. Because 4 years ago, I'd have never guessed this is where I'd be at. I'd have never guessed I'd be on a stage preaching Jesus. But I was handed to pieces, and I was taking steps of faith, and God put all my pieces together for the big picture. And that's only five pictures, and there's a lot more steps to take, but that's where I'm at in my life right now. So that's all the pictures I got to show you, so I can't show you nothing else. But this is where I'm at in my life, y'all. But I'm here to tell somebody today, when things don't make sense, when you don't understand, don't quit. Don't give up the fight. You got to reach for it. You got to reach for it. I tell you something Sarah taught me the other night at our Motion Leaders Night. We have in Motion, our youth group, we'll have we pick three leaders, and they'll teach the kids at youth. They'll break up into their own small groups inside the youth group, and they'll preach. And Sarah taught me something that was blew my mind. Y'all ever seen the hand paper towel things in the bathroom, the automatic ones? You wash your hands, you got wet hands. I need to dry these bad babies off. I can sit here and look at it all day. I really wish you'd pop out. I really wish you'd pop out, but nothing happens. But what happens when you reach and activate it? You dry your hands off. But God is a motion-sensitive God. You can sit here and look all day. You're going to do something? But until you're acting out on faith, until you're stepping out, until you're reaching out, chasing that garment, trying to grab a hold, what do you expect to happen? You got to reach for it. This brings me to my third point. We are in this together. We are in this together. I put in parentheses. Y'all write it down. We're in this together. Parentheses. Help people and let people help you. Help people and let people help you. And now we're going to go to Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27. What's going on with Philippians 1:27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Y'all, Paul's writing this to the church in Philippi. It's now it's modern-day Greece. That's who he's writing this letter to. And in verse 28, he says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, that this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. So the sheer fact that you're going through something, the sheer fact that you have something coming against you is a sign that you're going to make it. It is a sign that you are going to make it. In verse 29 and 30, he says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you were going through the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. So what Paul is saying here, you're going to have great days, and you're going to have awful days. You're going to have days you're ready to just quit and give it all up and say, I don't even know why I'm doing this, God. But Paul was telling them, I've been where you are. I know what you're going through. I've been through the same struggle. I'm still going through things. Y'all, I want the last time y'all checked, but it's the same today. We still go through things. I struggle. You hurt. I hurt. I mess up a lot. You probably mess up a lot too. Our struggle is the same. Don't think that whatever you're going through, that you're the only one. That you are the only one going through what you're going through. Y'all know Jesus was tempted in every way just like us? Yet he did not sin. That's not in my notes, but that was free. But what you're going through, let somebody talk with you. Let somebody help and share. Build relationships, healthy relationships. Accountability is key. You need the kind of friends that's going to tell you what you need to hear when you don't want to hear it. You got to surround yourself with people that will call a spade and tell you when you're messing up. But at the same time, you're supposed to step in and help people too. The devil, he don't want to fight you with a group. I remember we went to a place one time, and there was like 20 of us from Sylvania there. It was in Statesboro, and like the other 200 were apart from Statesboro, but it don't matter because there was like 20 from Sylvania, and I like those odds. But we felt powerful because we had a bunch of us there. We all was the same way with the devil. He don't want to fight you when you're a group. This right here, I'm looking at warriors. This is an army. He don't want to fight the army. He wants to pick you off, single you out one by one, and that's when he can get you. So the walls you building up, you better tear them down because it's just you and him in there. He can get you when you're by yourself. We've talked about the lions and chasing the gazelles and all that before. They don't attack the herd. They find the stragglers. They find the ones falling back, slipping back. That's the ones they attack, and that's the one they can get. But, y'all, we got to stand in there arm in arm, help each other out, let them know you're not the only one going through what you're going through. I've been there. I have been there. Connect with people, y'all. We're in this thing together. The struggle's the same. The same struggles Paul had back then, we're still having today. There's still persecution these days. There's still people getting ridiculed for their beliefs. Guys, I applaud y'all for being in high school, standing up for Jesus Christ. I didn't have the gumption to do that when I was in high school. I didn't want to be laughed at or picked on for being the odd guy. But now, thanks to you guys, serving Jesus is the cool thing to do. And that's the coolest choice you can ever make. I promise you. I tell them all the time at youth, don't do what your buddies are doing. Because on judgment day, you ain't answering for your buddies. You're answering for yourself. That was free too. But that's my 3 points that I was wanting to make today, y'all, was to fix your eyes on Jesus, to let your faith be stronger than your fears, and to know to connect with people, that we're in this together. So in closing, I'm going to tell you a story about me and my brother Cole. It was the 4th of July at Tybee. You ever been to Tybee on 4th of July? It's packed. There's people everywhere. So I go out. Me and Cole go out. We're swimming. You know, the tide will slowly take you away. You know what I'm talking about? Not like out in the ocean. It'll just take you down the beach. Well, I come up. And y'all, I'm a scaredy cat. Used to be. But I'm not now in the name of Jesus. I'm more than a conqueror now. But I used to be a scaredy cat. And I come up out the water. And I don't see my daddy nowhere. And I'm scared. I'm lost. I don't know what to do. So I said, I'm just going to start walking. So I started walking. And I ain't going to lie to you, I'm crying. I ain't as tough as I look. I'm crying like a baby, scared to death. And I'm just thinking how lost I am, how alone I am. But the whole time I was walking away, my dad was right there behind me. He was right there watching me and Cole. He was following us. And then I hit the breaking point after the lady ran out of cookies that was trying to pacify me. I hit the breaking point and I started hollering, Daddy! I was calling out his name. And there he was. And he took me and Cole under his arms and he walked us back to where we belong. And the Holy Spirit laid that on my heart the other night. I'd forgotten all about it. But he laid it on my heart and he said, Cam, that's the perfect example of what Jesus Christ does. He don't wait for you to clean up. He don't wait for you to get your ducks in a row. He meets you in the middle of your mess. He meets you in the middle of your upside down world. Jesus is the middle man. How is the only way to get to the Father? Through the Son. Where is Jesus at? Right hand of God. When you pray, he's steadily intercessing for us. When he was on the cross, there were 3 crosses on that hill. And guess where he was? He was in the middle. Jesus meets you in the middle. In the middle of your mess. And I learned one thing. I didn't find God. God found me. That night in Millen, Georgia, when I was just going to pacify Mr. Johnny, he said, Cam, come on, it's time. You sat around and played around and wasted enough time. You've missed out on enough chances. It's time to go. And he called me that night. And I answered. I reached out. I said, God, here I am. I've lived 21, however many years it was, I've lived my way long enough. I'm ready to live for you. I reached out. I grabbed the hem of his garment. And ain't nothing been the same ever since. Ain't nothing been the same ever since. But I want to tell y'all today to call upon the Lord. Rise. Your shackles are no more. For Jesus Christ has broken every chain. Whatever you brought in here today, whatever you're struggling with, it's already been defeated. It's already been dealt with. I'm here to tell you today that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. I feel the Spirit of God on this message. I feel the Spirit of God in this place. So today, it's your choice. Am I going to reach for it, or am I going to let it pass me by? Am I going to let it pass me by? And I pray today you'll leave here with a deeper understanding of Jesus. And just if you don't have a relationship, I pray you'll leave with a relationship today. But he's waiting on you to reach out for him. He's waiting on you to surrender yourself to him. He's waiting to pour out blessings, pour out peace, pour out healing, pour out redemption, pour out forgiveness, pour out grace, pour out strength, salvation, to pour out his love on you. And all you got to do is reach. It's catch the hem of that garment when it's coming by. He's here, y'all. Right here. He's in our midst, just like the woman that was fighting through the crowd to get to him. He's here. So reach for it. Reach for it. Grab a hold. And above all else, I want you to remember, you're going to make it. You are going to make it. I promise you. If everybody would stand to your feet. The Spirit of the Lord is in this place, y'all. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The slaves are set free. The deaf, they hear. The blind, they see. Today you might have came in here spiritually deaf, spiritually blind. But today I'm praying that you see the cross and you see Jesus. And y'all, he ain't hanging on a cross no more. That's over and done with. He's done took the punishment. He's not on the cross no more. He's sitting at the right hand of God. And he's sitting there waiting on the call. Waiting on the call for daddy to say, go get my babies. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready for that day? Nobody knows when it's coming. Jesus don't know, but he's waiting. Are you waiting? Are you ready for that day? And I don't want you to leave here today not knowing if today was your last day, where would you spend eternity? I don't want you to have that doubt. I don't want you to be misled or think, I just don't know, Cam. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, if that's you today, if you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never met him, right now, just lift your hand. It's just me and you and God. Praise God. Praise God. Next question. If there's anybody in here today, you're like, Cam, I know God. I've accepted him in my heart. But I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. I'm ready to rededicate my life to Christ. I'm ready to get back to my daddy's business. I'm tired of living my own way. I'm here. I'm reaching out for you, Jesus. I'm reaching out. If that's you today, raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. If everybody will repeat after me. Jesus, we praise you. And we thank you for sending your son to die on the cross, to take our punishment, to take our judgment, and we thank you for victory through the cross. Jesus, right now I confess all my sins. I'm sorry for the way I've lived, but today I'm ready to receive you. I'm ready to make things right. I'm ready to live for you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Y'all, if that's y'all, if you made that decision, even if you didn't raise your hand, grab a card. They're right on the back of the seat. Grab a card. It's got a slot. It says, my decision today, I'm committing my life to Christ or renewing my commitment to Christ. And then up under it says, I want to be baptized. If that's you and you want to get baptized, next Sunday morning we're doing baptisms. So if you want to rededicate your life and get baptized on the right side of the cross, come on. But I ask you, take 30 seconds, fill that card out. And we're fixing to go out with a praise, and we're fixing to go out. The ushers are going to come up and they're going to take an offering to y'all. This song, Resurrect, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. Jesus is alive and well, and he's living on the inside of us, and he's changing us every day. He's bringing the dead bones back to life, y'all. And we're going to reach out for him, and we're going to praise him, and we're going to praise with power. So let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for today. Thank you for every person that you brought here. Father God, I praise you that this message will just touch somebody today. That it'll touch your life. It'll change your heart, Father God. I pray for every family in here. I pray that families are brought back or made whole. That relationships with parents, relationships with sons and daughters are made whole, Father God, through you. We're reaching out. We're grabbing the hem of your garment when you come by, Father God. We thank you that you're here in this place with us. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen.